So last week we kind of had the introduction. This week we start. Now I need to say something before we get going. All right? I need to say it to parents. I need to say it to teenagers. I need to say it to the new folks. All right? We preach the scripture as it is, and we tend to walk through the scripture. But today, atypically, today, if this were a television show, it would be rated M. If it were a video game, it would be M for mature. Mature content. I'm not going to dumb it down. I can't. It's not possible. And I'm not going to flagrantly try to upset people by saying words that, you know, normally preachers don't say. You just got to understand that this story is what it is. And, you know, if you have a child, a young child, if there's a teenager in here, you need to do one of two things. You need to understand it's coming, or you need to be prepared to have conversations with them when this is over. Okay? Right out of the scripture. Everybody with me on that? Alright, nod your head that you get this, okay? I'm not scared, I'm just letting you know, alright? Now, let's take a look real quick at where we are. We came out of Joshua when all of the people, all of God's children, got into the promised land. They found God, they came back to God, God gave them the power, they finally, after years, 40 years, 80 years, hundreds of years, you know, several generations, they get the promised land, okay? And Joshua prays over them, blesses them, he dies, all right? And they're going to move forward. And then moving forward is the book of Judges, all right? The book of Judges covers a span of approximately 300 years. The next slide, basically it goes Joshua, and then the book of Judges is about 300 years or so. And then we get to the first king of Israel, all right? King Saul comes along, all right? And there's kind of a theme that runs over and over again in your life, over and over again in my life, over and over again in the life of the churches. And that'll be the next slide. And it looks like this. Disobedience, disaster, deliverance. Everything's plugging along, and then we do something we maybe shouldn't do, right? All right? Disobedience to God. And that leads to something we didn't want or need to happen, all right? Disaster. We hit the bottom, all right? And then we cry out to God. We end up in church. We come to the altar. We go to youth camp on a Thursday, and we get on our knees, you know, cry a little bit, hug our girlfriends and our boyfriends, and it's all better again. And then you know what? We disobey, all right? Well, the book of Judges is all about God's people doing that, all right? And they do that because they separate into these regions by tribe. 12 tribes, 10, 9.5, 10 of which are actually in the promised land, and 2 that are trans-Jordan, which means they're on the other side of the Jordan River, farming this really great land that God had promised for them too, all right? And so that's what's going on. And as they go about it, what they want to do is they want to do like we want to do as states, or we want to do as counties. They want to have kind of, this is what works for us. This is how we feel in the South. We believe this, this, and this. Up in the North, we believe this, this, and this. On the West Coast, we believe this, this, and this. And so what begins to happen, Andy Stanley says, they do what is right in their own eyes. Each does what is right in their own eyes. I tell you that to tell you this. We are in a very trying, difficult time as a country. We are, okay? And if you're paying attention at all, we came over and finally found our freedom, finally cleared everything up. The Revolutionary War ends, and in 1776, we become our own country. Anybody doing the math on this? That's about 200 and what? 40, give or take, years. About 240 years in, things start to get rough when people think that freedom means I get what I want, you get what you want, he, she, or it gets what they want. Do you understand? That is what right in their own eyes means. And it all sounds well and good until what she wants interrupts what I want, and what I want interrupts what they want, and what they want interrupts what we want, very harsh, very real, very played out story. And I need you to see if you can't turn the video cameras of your mind on, okay, in whatever way you know how, and think about the story I'm telling you in movie form. Think about the music playing in the background. Think about what your heart feels. Think about the darkness of the set. Think about the shacks and the desert and the road and the steps taken. I want you to play this thing out, and I want you to comprehend that before there was horror films, before there was movies that made you cringe, there was Judges. And we're going to read from chapters 19, 20, and 21. You guys are going, wait, we just started. Yeah, you need to see how this plays out first. In order to understand what the heroes and what the judges and what the kings were doing, you need to see the last three chapters, and then you need to grab hold of the last verse, all right? I'm not going to read it all. I'm going to tell the story, but I need you to follow it. In these days, listen. First line, same as the last. In these days, Israel had no king. Let me say it again. In these days, Israel had no king. Church, would you say those four words with me? Israel had no king. It's important. Amen. Here's a story. Amen. A Levite lived in a remote area of the hill country of Ephraim. A guy from out of the sticks. Right? Took a concubine from Bethlehem in Judah. Let's talk about what that means, okay? Not a prostitute. Not a mistress, although that would be closer to what it is. Not simply a sexual favor person. It is a live-in person who is not quite wife. Okay? So it's a little more than what... We can't use the word mistress now because that's like adulteress and stuff. And that's not the same as what it was in that culture. Wasn't right, but in that culture it was accepted. So your wife would be the one in the house who was actually at the highest level. A concubine would be a secondary wife or a lower level wife or wife junior. Okay? She wasn't your wife, but she did everything and had everything and you had all the rights and responsibilities of her, but the wife was over her in the house. Okay? That's a concubine. All right? There were people in Israel who had lots and lots of concubines, okay? One guy, 700 wives, 300 concubines, all right? Lots and lots. Lots. This guy has a concubine. She is unfaithful to him. We don't know if that meant sexually. We know that she went back home. She left his house and went back to her father. You didn't do that in Israel, okay? So she goes back to her father, and the story we get is basically, he kind of misses her. He wants her back. So he leaves where he is, okay? And it says, her husband went to persuade her to return with a servant and two donkeys. And when her father saw him, he welcomed him gladly. And they called him his father-in-law. Because the father had given her to him, not as a wife, but as a concubine. And his father prevailed him to stay. Come on down, brother. How are you? Yeah, she's here. She's fine. We'll talk to her. Want some dinner? Yeah, I'll have some dinner. So they sit down and they shoot the bull together. They hang out together. They have some beverages together. He sleeps there. And the Bible says that goes on for 2 or 3 days. They're meeting, they're greeting, they're hanging out, they're drinking, they're eating again, they're drinking again. They get up. Okay, after 3 days, he's like, man, I ought to get on the road. You know, I need to get the donkeys, the servant, and the girl back home. He says, yeah. And they talk for a few more minutes. He says, well, it's almost supper time. Have some dinner. Sure. Want something to drink with dinner? Sure. Want another one? Sure. By the time he's got to leave, he can't really leave. He's not going to drive his donkey straight, if you know what I mean. So he stays there again. Next day, he gets ready to leave early in the evening after the heat of the day goes. The guy says, it's almost dinner time. Guess what happens? They start eating. They start drinking. He ends up staying. Well, the next night, it's getting ready to happen again. The guy's like, no. I know it's about to get dark, but if I don't get out of here, I ain't never going to get out of here. So the man, the concubine, the servant, and the two donkeys, they take off, okay? Nightfall comes and they get to a place, and they don't feel real good about So they're trying to get on to the next city of the people of Israel. All right? The next city of the people of Israel. So we're not going to go into an alien city. We're going to get on to Gibeah. Let's try to reach there and spend the night there. They got there. And what do you do if you're not from a town? You don't just go up to the hotel, motel, Holiday Inn. You don't do that. You go to the town square. You go to the front steps of the courthouse. You understand what I'm saying? You go to the front lawn and you wait. And what generally would happen is folks would say, oh, there's a visitor to our town. I've got some room. Come stay with me. Whoever went up and down the street, this was completely normal. All right? If Brother Dale, he's saying, look, I got an extra bedroom. He drives down through Nicholasville. He sees somebody from somewhere else hanging out. That'd be weird to us, but to them, you'd be like, hey, how many are with you? Just me and my donkey. Cool. I got a post to tie it to. Donkey can't come in, but you can. All right? Brother Dale, that's how it worked. Well, they get there, and they wait, and they wait, and they wait, and nobody takes them. And it gets to be late, late in the night, all right? Until the Bible says there was this man, a weird traveler, and he says, where are you going? Where did you come from? And in verse 18, he says, we're on our way from Bethlehem to Judah to a remote area in Ephraim where I live. I'm from the sticks. We're not going to get there. So what do? We got straw. We got fodder. We got stuff for our mules. You don't have to do anything. We just need a place to stay. He says, well, you're welcome in my house, but let me supply whatever you need. All right? Just don't spend the night out here in the open. I'm not sure how safe that is. So they brought him. They washed their feet. They had something to eat, something to drink. And the story takes a turn. Everybody take a deep breath. While they were enjoying themselves, some wicked men from the city came, pounded on the door, shouted to the old man, demanded that they throw the stranger out, the man, stranger out, because they wanted to do sexual things to him. And the house owner says, well, basically what your grandmother would say if you put your elbows on the table. Where are your manners? What are you thinking? But then, while he's checking their manners, he says, I've got a daughter who's a virgin, and we've got the concubine girl that's traveling with them. We'll put them out here with you if y'all just leave us alone. They say, no, give us the guy. So the guy brings the concubine to the door, opens it real quick, pushes her out, shuts the door, they lock it back up. And they take this girl, and they do unspeakable, unimaginable things to her, all of them, through the whole night. Bring her back to the house and throw her at the doorstep. When they get up in the morning, the man opens the door, and the Bible says that her hands are laying on the threshold. And he says, get up, it's time to go. And she doesn't get up. She dies on the doorstep. You ready? He picks her up, puts her on one of the donkeys. They go back home. He's so angry, so frustrated, so mad, listen to this, at what this world is coming to, at what this country has turned to, that brothers and sisters would act this way. He takes, the Bible says, a knife. He cuts her up into 12 pieces. Mails a piece to every tribe. Basically with a note saying, look what happens. Look what's happening to us. Look what's happening in our country. Look what we've become. And they're furious. They're furious at these people from the land of Benjamin. They know what God's in it because they call the man in, they call the guy in, the traveler in, and they testify before them who did it. And so they say, all right, the Benjamites need to pay. We're all here. We're going to get our best men. We're going to get our best soldiers. And we're going to go and we're going to knock the snot out of the Benjamites. That's not in the Bible, but that's what we're going to say. Okay? Knock the snot wasn't King James. Okay? And so they draw lots because they know there's going to be a battle, and when there's a battle, somebody dies. So they draw lots to see who's going to go first. But all of these 11 groups are going in. Okay? So, I love this part. Twice during this battle, they call upon the Lord for permission. After all this is going on, after all the things they do, they go ahead and say, "Hey God, you gonna bless us? We're about to go massacre our brothers, but they did something real, real bad. So we're gonna go kill them. Is it okay?" They ask God to do that. And then they go. You know what happens? They're like thousands and thousands upon tens of thousands of soldiers. Maybe even 100,000 soldiers. It says in there, and there's like 25,000 Benjamites. The Benjamites knock the snot out of the Israelites. And they have to back up and go, "What just happened?" So they go in again, and guess what? They lose again. They lose like 10,000, like 20,000 soldiers to them. Then they ask God for help again. And he says, "Yeah, I ain't learned your lesson. Go again." And they start to lose again. And then it's like God pulls the cover back. God opens the door for them. And they get smart. And they annihilate them. Literally. It gets so bad. And they let their emotions run so wild. And they react. And church, you need to learn this. They react instead of respond. You listening? They react instead of respond. I'm going to come back to that. And they wipe out the tribe. And then they go back and they clean up the job. It just so happens that about 600 guys realize that everybody's dying and they go hide in the woods. Okay? Israel has another conversation. They go back to Benjamin and they kill the animals. They kill the women. They kill the children. They level the place. And then they go home, and they're partying, and they're excited about it. They wake up the next morning. Anybody know this story? And they go, what have we done? We've literally, it would be like us saying, what just happened over the last week? We just nuked Texas off the map. No offense. I just picked a big one. Probably happened that way, though, yeah. Probably wouldn't be Texas, would it? But you understand what I'm saying? That's literally what America wakes up and Texas is underwater in the ocean, no longer a part of the continent. And they're like, they kind of, the reality sets in. And word gets back that there are 600 guys left. So they have another meeting. And they go, "Oh, well, they're not dead, but all their women are dead. And a few minutes ago, like not last night when we were partying, we all vowed, and a vow can't be broken, all right, Harry Potter, a vow can't be broken in the scriptures. They all vowed not to give any of their daughters to the leftover men. So nobody in Israel can give a wife to these Benjamites who hid. So they're going to die out now anyway. Y'all got that?" They realize they're all gone, and then they realize they're not gone, but then they realize that because of what they've done, when these guys die, it's over, because they can't reproduce. They wipe out the tribe. So, here's what they decide to do. One of the groups didn't show up for all the meetings, and so they pick them. They go, they send a group of people in to them. They grab all of the virgins in that community, steal them, and give them to the 600 men. Problem was, there was only 400. So there's still 200 guys that don't have anything. To fix that, they're going to have their major city celebration. You know, Nicholasville on Main Festival, the court days in Maysville or wherever, Mount Sterling. Their big festival's coming. Here's what they plan on doing at the end. They say, "We're going to have a big dance, and all the girls are going to dance out on Main Street, and we're going to tell the 200 guys that didn't get a wife that they're going to be out of there, and we're just going to turn our backs for 5 minutes, and they get to run out and steal a girl. And then we don't bow, we don't break our backs. Did, be honest with me. Did any of you know this story was in there? How many of you can say you knew? Yeah, like 5, 6, 7 of you? Do you know why? Nobody preaches this. Nobody preaches rape and chopping it up and voting to give women away and sending body parts in the mail. This is 7. You know, this is... This is rated don't make a movie of it. And after this is all over, it's almost like... It's almost like you need Morgan Freeman's voice. Think about it for a minute. It's almost like in the background of all this, there's been a narrator, but he's not there. Shawshank Redemption, he's there, but he's not there. He's a part of the story, but he's narrating to it. He's like, I got it. At the end, you feel dirty. You feel shock. Your chin is on the floor. And then Morgan Freeman says, and at that time, the Israelites left that place and went home to their tribes. In those days, Israel had no king, and everyone did as he saw fit. I really wish I had his voice to do that. And the book ends. Let me translate for you. When there is nobody in charge, and everybody is in charge, it goes really, really bad every single time. And in America, we are on the cusp of this very thing. In the name of freedom, in the name of justice, in the name of kindness and politeness, we will allow this person to marry who they want, that person to kill who they want, this person to be judged by this standard, but this person to be judged by this standard. These people capitally punish this, but we capitally punish this. We can fly this flag, but we get to fly this flag. We pick this justice. We pick this justice. And church, it won't work. Because no one can serve two masters. And when you get to be the master, there's a problem. There's 20,000, 20 million, 6 billion of you who all think they can be the master too. And Israel had no king. And America had no king. Listen to me. I don't care. Do you hear me? I can't either. I don't care who you vote for. I do not care. It might be 4 years. It might be 8 years. There's been 250 years of breaking it. It's not going to fix it in 2.5. Do you understand that? We don't have to worry about picking a president if we will unify on who is king. Bad and worse. Worse and worser. I get it. But look at my face. Do you see any concern on my face about it? There's not. I promise I will not wake up on November 10th, 9th, whatever it is. I'm not going to wake up on one of those days and go, oh, poop. It's a crazy man. Oh, darn, darn. It's a girl. It's not like a surprise birth, people. Not even a little bit. The problems that we have zero to do with politics and policies and everything to do with the person who is in charge. It's no one. It's no one. It's everyone. And that's worse. Each did what was right in their own eyes. And Israel had no king.
The first time I heard that verse spoken, it literally flushed over me like Niagara Falls. It's valid in your life. It's valid in our church. And it's valid in our country. You have to decide who is king of your world. Choose this day, Joshua, who you will serve. You or him. I've told you before, there's a reason when you become a disciple that God didn't say to his disciples, if anyone would come after me, they must deny the devil, take up their cross and follow me. They must deny Trump, take up their cross and follow me. They must deny Hillary, take up their cross and follow me. No! They must deny what? I'm way more worried about you than I am about Hillary. That's just the truth. Some of you are like, what? Yeah, I'm worried about you. Because here's the thing. If I can speak Jesus the King into 100 of you, and you speak Jesus the King into your children, and we fall in love with Jesus the King, then pretty soon, in maybe one or two generations, but before that 300 years is up, there will be a group of people who know who the King is, who live out the King's life. One church at a time. Amen. This is the story of the judges. Disobedience, disaster, deliverance, and figuring out who your deity is. It starts with you. Deciding if you're the boss or he's the boss. It starts with us. Deciding if I'm the boss or he's the boss. And then we spread it. Day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, plugging along, not giving in to the temptation to bash one another, not giving in to the temptation to sever one another limb from limb, not giving in to the temptation to argue over the politics and policies that do not matter, and to focus on what does. That there is not a day that goes by that doesn't tell the sun come up and tell it to set and it listens. There's not a day goes by that the waves don't roll into the coast and roll back out to the ocean and they obey him. And there's not a day that goes by that if you say, dear Jesus, he doesn't say, yes, my child. Mm-hmm. Try it. Choose this day. There is hope. There is peace. In Jesus. Let's pray. God, just a minute, we're going to allow the words to land on our hearts, in our spirit. We're going to process these things that we have heard. We're going to talk about these things throughout the afternoon. But God, hopefully welling up inside of us is a desire to raise our hands to you, a desire to look to you, a desire for just a moment to sing to you, and to say, today, I choose no fear, because you did not give us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, and of love, and of self-discipline. So today, I choose no fear. Today, I choose peace. Today, I choose hope. Today, I choose not to worry, but by prayer and petition, to raise my hands in praise to the King that I choose. So for just a few minutes, let's let this word of God, let's let this power and authority that he has, let's let this love, this excitement that we have at Nicholasville Baptist, let's let it rise up, come out in our voices. I'm not asking you to sing. I'm just giving you a chance to. So as Cameron begins to sing when he's ready, if you want to join him, you join him when you're ready. Pick a king. Reach for him. Thank him. Praise him. Love him. Trust him.